We are expecting some students today from the Mount Horeb High School. They have not yet arrived, and when they arrive, they will be ushered into the courtroom, so I don't want the argument, your arguments disturbed by people arriving, and between argument, I will announce them, so we might as well proceed. I'll call our first case, 068P2554, Town of Madison versus County of Dane. Arguing on behalf of Dane County is the Assistant Corporation Counsel, Gary Reffeld. Okay. Well, let me just announce what I have as the appearances here. So you have 10 minutes, 15 minutes for Mr. Phillips. Andrew Phillips, who also represents interested party in the County of Dane, and John Gerlach, who represents the Town of Madison. You have 30 minutes. And then there are 5 minutes for you, sir. Okay? Got it.
Good morning, Justices. I'm Gary Reffeld from Dane County. I'm an Assistant Corporation Counsel there. And may it please the Court, I'd like to present argument as the appellant in this matter. The first thing I'd like to do is go over some factual information that I think is important, and I brought along a little display today. This display is also attached.
Okay, it's an exhibit in the court, so you have no objection to this display.
Your Honor, actually it's Mr. Gerlach's exhibit at summary judgment. Right. This has been attached.
Do you have any objection now that you see it again?
And I need to tell the court what I did with this. This is an exact blow-up, but the cut and paste orange, yellow, and green is mine, as well as the signs. Everything else is the same.
All right.
This exhibit is also attached to both my petition for review and my Supreme Court brief, if you look, it's back there. But it's a pretty lousy copy at the end of the Supreme Court brief, and I thought it would be a little easier to see.
Appendix 122, I think.
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't have the petition. Yes, that's exactly it. Actually, the petition has a better copy, Your Honors, and if you did have the petition, that would be easier to refer to. What we're here today for is a case about the relationship between town and county government. And there's a specific statute that deals with this, and it's Section 8138. Sub 1, and we're talking about the 2002 version of the Wisconsin statutes because that was operative at the time the petition
Mr.
was
Reffeld,
made.
Mr. Reffeld, is the comment, the road to nowhere, is that something that was on the original exhibit?
No, it is not. I pointed that out, Your Honor. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that. This, and this are things that I have added as enlargements, so it's easier to say. That's kind of going to be my theme today.
And your opposing counsel was aware you had added those things?
No, he was not, and I mentioned it right here today in court, Your Honor.
Okay, those are your... I know. Can you just turn the... why don't you just turn the stand around a bit? Justice Siegler, can you
That's
see
fine.
It?
That's fine. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, no problem.
Is that better, Mr. Gerlach?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to point out a few things that I think are factually important. And again, I think our facts are essentially the same.
Where the bridge is.
Bridge is the green structure, Your Honor.
Right. Okay. What's the orange structure? What's the orange?
This is Ski Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And approximately where you see it stopping right here is where it dead-ended.
Mm-hmm.
And up here is the frontage road.
Mm-hmm.
The dead-ended. This is the way... the situation was before the bridge was built, except obviously with the bridge there, okay? And the important things, I think, for the court to see here, and it's been discussed in words, but sometimes visually it's more important, is the gap between the end of Frontage Road and where the bridge was built, and also the gap between the end of where the bridge is and where Ski Lane comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Thank you.
Counselor, since we're talking about the facts, and since one of your arguments obviously is that the bridge wasn't built, quote, on, end quote, a road, would the county have felt differently instead of asking to build the bridge when they did if they first moved Ski Lane around so it did come to the end of the rail corridor and move the frontage road when I say moved, I mean added on to it, so that the only places where they wouldn't meet would just be the rail corridor?
Okay. Your Honor, if I could just focus on one thing I think you said there. And what I'd like to use is the term highway because that's the term contained in the statute.
That's fine. That's
right.
Fine.
I think it would be a different case because what we're trying to operate is with the language the legislature gave us. And I think one of the things that's really important when we work as attorneys is some predictability and some sense of what the legislature meant. In this case, what we have is we have the two statutory definitions that I relied on and I figured prominently in my brief, the one from 990 and the one from 340. And the quick answer to your question is yes, I think there would have been a different response. My advice to the county would have been different had I been giving advice at that time.
What would your advice have been?
If I would have concluded, I would have gone to the people from our highway department who are actually here today, and I would have consulted with them, and I would have asked, is this on a highway? Is this a typical project for which we have reimbursed for in the past? Have we treated this as a highway? And if they would have told me it was, and we'd have gone out and looked at it, I would have said, yes, we need to fund this petition for bridge aid. And I think the important thing, again, the definition in 340.01 sub 22 is contained in my brief, as well as the definition in 990.01 sub 12. And I think the important thing for the court to look at in both those definitions is they both contain the word public. Okay? Under 340, it says, highway means all public ways and thoroughfares and bridges on the same. It includes the entire width of travel between the boundary lines of every way open to the use of public as a matter for right. There was nothing open to the public for use here. The definition under 990, highway includes all public ways and thoroughfares and bridges upon the same. Again, public. There was no ability for the public to use that as a thoroughfare or a highway. And I think that's absolutely critical here.
When you say that, what are you referring to?
Okay. Your Honor, when I say that, what I'm referring to is what we concede was a state right-of-way from here to here and from here to here. There is a right-of-way that exists. However, that does not meet the definition of highway.
Is it usable by cars, the right-of-way?
From here to here and here to here?
Yeah.
That's not in the record, Your Honor, and I don't think it was. This was decided by summary judgment. It would be the burden of the party that moved for summary judgment to prove that to the court.
Okay.
One of the other things, when Justice Bradley asked me how I would advise my highway department if they came to me with a situation, not only looking at the statutory definitions, we've got to look at what other cases are out there. And there's really only one other case that talks about 8138, but that talks about 8138 in general, and that was the Grand Chute case. However, the other case that I would have advised them was the Morris versus Juneau County case that I cited in my brief to the court. I think that's important because it recites a long statutory history of language, either in 8138 that is either identical or similar, and that language has been approved in that case, is talking about applying the definition under Chapter 340 to the word highway in Chapter 81. I think that's absolutely important. I mean, we've got the authority of the two statutory definitions, and we've got that case consistently applying those definitions. It says it recounts over 120 years in Wisconsin law.
Counselor, do you have any idea why the legislature required the county to pay anything at all? What do you suppose was the reason behind the statute?
Your Honor, I think there's a lot of ways that the legislature likes to give help to local governments and local municipalities. And I think it recognized bridges as being a very important one. Attorney Phillips talks about the legislative history of 8138. It goes way back to the 1880s and 1890s. There's been that kind of program, and he's going to talk about at least four other programs for bridge aid reimbursement. And I think that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to help help towns out. The thing you should know, though, is that with the towns and villages that participate in the bridge aid program, when the county reimburses that, that amount is levied against all those participants. So it's a cost-spreading measure, too. It spreads the cost. And as Justice Dykeman observed in his dissent, how is that going to benefit anybody else in any other town somewhere in another place in Dane County.
Well, you could say that about any bridge that's built in any town.
Absolutely, you could.
So
yeah.
But again,
in this situation, the qualifier the legislature gave us was the word highway and the phrase highway maintainable by a town. That's what they gave us. That's what we're working with.
I don't know why the definition of highway is all that important in this case. It seems to me that the fight really isn't how do you define highway. The fight is more a fight regarding the temporal aspect of this case. Are we talking about an existing highway or a highway that could be built in the future? So it's not so much whether or not you meet the definition of a highway, a public highway, but does the statute contemplate that it must, that highway must be in existence now or it can be future? Am I wrong in my framework or the way that I see the question?
Yeah.
Or am I right? And if I'm right, why are we spending time on defining highway?
Okay. Your Honor, I think that's important, too, because I think in one of my briefs, and Your Honor, I can't point to exactly, I use the phrase temporal disconnect. And the temporal disconnect here is if the county properly is approached with a petition for bridge aid, we have to make a decision on that petition. If we are told by the town, it's getting built in 3 years, is that okay? It's getting built in 5 years. Is that okay? How does the county judge their duty? My interpretation of the statute gives the court a firm grasp on how to judge the duty. It's when it's on a highway maintainable by the town that exists. Simple. I think I mentioned in my petition for review the principle of Occam's razor. The simple answer is often the best.
Well, that's only if you think you know what highway maintainable by a town means.
Right.
Then it's not quite so simple. I guess that's why we're here. Some people don't think that's so simple.
And I agree with that, Your Honor. But I agree if we do the things we do as lawyers, that we look at definitions in the statute and we look at cases.
Okay, let's look at what we do as lawyers. Let's look at those words that you say are the important words of the statute. And it is highway maintainable by the town. Do those words, does that phrase answer this question? Does the highway have to be existing? Or can that highway be a future one as long as it's the kind of highway that's maintainable by a town?
Two things, Your Honor. Again, I think if you look at in terms of reading just the words that exist in the statute, okay? Maintainable implies, and I'm going to say very clearly implies, something that exists. You can't maintain something if it doesn't exist. And
Why doesn't maintainable imply able to maintain? Seems to me, you know. In fact, that would be a fun way to do it because then you don't have to create any new letters.
Sure.
Maintainable, able, like, and then I insert to maintain. Why doesn't it mean that? Why does that answer the question? If it means able to maintain, how does that give you a solid answer as to whether it's now or in the future?
It really doesn't, Your Honor. But what it does do is if you say able to be maintained is to be construed as anything that happens in the future. Again, there's no guidance in the statute how far you go out. There's no certainty. One of the things that's really important is when there's budgetary constraints and budgets are shrinking, that there be predictability, there be a way able to assess for the county what we need to levy, what the highway commissioner needs to do, and there has to be some way to measure it. If it's a highway in existence, you can tell whether it's maintainable or not. If it isn't, you can't. Do we go on the word of the town? Do we go on somebody else's word? They create a ton of uncertainty.
Mr. Rayfield, since we're talking about the construction of the statute, what's the significance of the word constructs when you're talking about your temporal argument?
I think construct means just that, Your Honor. It doesn't have to be new construction. It doesn't necessarily limit to construction, for example, that occurs when you completely take a bridge out and put a new bridge in. The example I used in my, I think it was my petition to this court, was the overpass that was created between Highway 51 and Milwaukee Street. Clearly not town roads, those are highway and state roads. But had the same situation occurred, that would be new construction, that would fit the word construct, and that would make the statute make sense and give a reading to the statute, reading all words and using them.
So if I understand your argument correctly, frontage road is a highway maintainable by the town.
I admit the definition, yes.
And ski lane is a highway maintainable by the town.
Yes.
But you take issue with the fact that the bridge is not connected to either of those and both of those. There's a gap in between. And so really you're saying it's connected to state property for the state right away.
Correct, Your Honor. And I agree with all the facts that you've stated, yes.
So if there were a bridge that started at the end of Frontage Road and concluded at the end of Ski Lane or vice versa, you think that would be something the county would have to cover?
I would advise the County Highway Department differently than was advised in this case. And understand, I didn't give them the original advice. Okay? I would have advised differently. My conclusion would have been, if it would have connected Frontage Road to Ski Lane, that's on a highway maintainable by the town. That full section, if that was the bridge, and the two abutting places that touched it were highways maintainable by the town, I would have advised them differently, yes.
That would have been a more expensive bridge than the $75,000 one they asked you for.
Sure, absolutely.
Huge.
Absolutely no question.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me just see. As I understand it, Dane County reads the language to mean as follows. When any town has voted to construct or repair any culvert or bridge that is at the time of repair or construction on a highway maintainable by the town. That's your interpretation.
Yes.
And the town of Madison reads the language as follows. When any town has voted to construct or repair any culvert or bridge that is or will be on a highway maintainable by the town.
Yes.
And that's your different construction of the same language. Okay. So I understand the issue.
And, Your Honor, again, I think you get to my construction without adding any language to the statute, relying solely on statutory definitions and case law. To get to where the town of Madison's position is, I think you have to add words.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips, you filed an amicus brief on behalf of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
I did, Chief Justice Abrahamson. Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Andrew Phillips. I filed an amicus brief on behalf of the Counties Association. The Counties Association is interested in this case, obviously, because it has a statewide impact on the application and interpretation of a statute involving bridge aid of all 72 counties within the state of Wisconsin. The reason that this case is important in our view is that you have to understand the context of Section 81.38 and now 82.08 as it relates to the improvements, construction, repair, maintenance obligations accruing to each and every highway within the state. As this court is aware, there are several categories of highways within the state. We have federal interstate highways, state highways, county highways, town roads, and then we have private roads. There are maintenance obligations accruing to each level of government commensurate with what type of road we're talking about here. When we talk about the County Bridge Aid Program, 81.38 and the predecessor statutes, and the reason why this statute was created in the first place, it would be very nice if we could go back to the legislative drafting notes in 1860 and determine why this program was put in place. But I think in order to understand why this program is put in place, you need to look at the various other programs that exist for local road assistance and place this program in that context. And if you look at the Court of Appeals decision in this case, if you look at the trial court decision, and if you look at the town of Madison's position in this case, there's a lot of reliance placed on the word construct. And according to the Court of Appeals, the trial court, and the town of Madison, in order to give effect to the intent of the legislature, you have to give meaning to the word construct, and that means a brand new bridge. And I'll tell you that the only reason or the only way you can reach that conclusion is if you find that the statute is created and the intent of the legislature was to provide a benefit to town government from county government to aid in the construction of new bridges. And I'll tell you that I don't think that that's the intent of the legislature, and I'll tell you how I get to that result very briefly. First of all, if we look at the term construct and the way it's used in the statute, Contrary to what the Court of Appeals and Trial Court concluded, I think there are any variety of ways that a new bridge could be constructed on a highway that is currently maintainable by the town on a town road. For example, if you have a culvert that runs underneath a town road, and because of changes in topography, changes in land use, residential development, commercial development, whatever the reason, there is an increase in the amount of water that needs to proceed through that culvert, it may at some point in time be necessary to replace that culvert with a bridge. Again, we're replacing that culvert and building, constructing a brand new bridge. That bridge would be constructed on a highway maintainable by the town. In that case, that town would be qualified to petition for mandatory bridge aid under what is now currently Section 82.08 of the Wisconsin statutes.
Why would they have done that? What's your reason why the county would have done that? Why would they have paid for it?
Because in that case, if you look at the statutory definition as to the pre-qualifications or prerequisites to qualify for bridge aid, number one, it has to be construction or repair of a bridge or culvert, and number two, that bridge or culvert has to be constructed or repaired on a highway maintainable by the town. The town road is in existence at that point in time, and at that point in time, it qualifies for bridge aid.
Well, the temporal part of it troubles me. If you look at the purpose of the statute, as your co-counsel said, the county's providing some financial assistance to a town and also at sharing the cost of improvements. I don't see how those are impacted at all upon whether there was a culvert that's now replaced with a bridge or whether there's a bridge that's like the bridge that's asked for here. I fail to see the distinction. Can you help me a little bit?
Well, I think that if you look at the entire infrastructure system that exists in our state, as I mentioned, we've got various levels of highways owned or operated by various people, as we might say, federal government, state government, local government, private roads. In this case, we're talking about really a statute that is designed to assist a town in repairing or keeping their infrastructure system that exists. It's not to assist a town in developing new infrastructure at the local level. Let me give you an example. In this case, the town created an environmental TIF district off of the Beltline. And in order to service that environmental TIF district, the town made the decision unilaterally that it needed a road. And so the town made the decision, we're going to create a TIF district, we're going to create a road. In order to create that road, we need a bridge. The county wasn't involved in that decision. None of the towns in Dane County were involved in that decision. None of the participating villages, the villages participating in the Bridge Aid program, were involved in that decision.
But it was a lawful decision for the town to make, right?
Absolutely. And then the question is what taxpayers should bear the burden associated with the costs of that infrastructure? Is that a matter that should be at the local town level, where the town, making the decision to create the TIF district and service that district, should bear the brunt of the infrastructure costs, or is that something that should be spread among the various towns within Dane County?
Counselor, do you agree with your opposing counsel then that if they knew what your interpretation of the statute was going to be, instead of asking for the money for the bridge, they should have first extended Ski Lane and extended the frontage road until the only piece left between the two of them was the rail corridor?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question because I happen to disagree with Mr. Rehfeldt on that point.
That's good. You can explain it.
Quite frankly, I believe that any time that you're bridging an expanse that is not part of a town road, that you run into problems under the Bridge Aid statute because, again, you're creating a road where none existed. I don't care if that expanse is 3 feet, 300 feet. Okay. I still think that the answer is the same and that it doesn't qualify for Bridge Aid.
Okay, so you wouldn't agree either that you could... My other hypothetical was, well, hey, just don't build a little bridge. Leave the roads where they are and build a great big bridge, because one end of the bridge would then be on a road main or a highway maintained by the town on each side, right? But you wouldn't agree that they would pay for that either, right?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. And I think that if you interpret the statute in that fashion, that it could lead to somewhat absurd results. You'd have very long bridges, or you would have towns going out and building roads right up to the bridge approach and then petitioning for bridge aid. And I don't think that makes sense from an infrastructure cost standpoint, because obviously I think you'll get a much better deal if you bid the entire project at one time versus doing it piecemeal. And so I would submit to you that the only way that the town of Madison in this instance would have qualified for bridge aid is had that frontage road existed, had the town actually dedicated that frontage road, and had the town been responsible for maintaining that frontage road and then decided it needed to build a bridge.
But it could never build the bridge that you're talking about because you got a railroad corridor there.
It could build the bridge with town money. It could build the bridge using and taxing the people that are responsible for that infrastructure who are going to use that infrastructure.
And maybe I want to drive on it. I don't live over there. I live in Dane County, though, and I pay taxes in Dane County.
That may be, and I think that the further we get away from going back to the original argument of who is really going to benefit from the creation of this bridge, there may be a taxpayer in the town of York that uses that bridge on a daily basis because they work in that area. That may be, and so I think it's very hard to quantify the benefits that would accrue to the surrounding residents in Dane County. Nonetheless, I think that if you look at the local decision that was made to develop that area, create the TIF district, develop that road, that is an issue for the locality. That's not a countywide issue from our perspective.
Well, doesn't your argument then mean that it is only existing, and I don't know when existing starts, highways that the town maintains? And only existing bridges that are covered to enable the county to pay half. That anything new, if you build a new town road with a new town bridge, it's not covered. That's the TIF example you gave.
I think that it has to be an existing highway. That I will agree with you with.
When? Existing when? So if the town builds the highway tomorrow, lets it exist for 2 years, and then wants to bridge it between two town roads that they built 2 years ago, does the county pay?
I don't believe so, and that gets back to my discussion with Justice Rogenstack.
I know. That's why I'm pinpointing it to the fact that your argument is such that the statute is stops at a particular point. That is, when does the town road have to be in existence?
I think it has to be in existence at the time that the petition for Bridge 8 is filed.
Well, the one example I gave you was 2 years ago, they have the town roads. Now, town roads are in existence, but they're not connected, and they need the bridge. Now they go to the county and say, see, we got two town roads. We need a bridge or a culvert. Give us half the money for the bridge or the culvert, and you say that's not covered.
I don't believe that's covered because you're bridging an expanse over an area that is not a highway maintainable by the town, if you look at the language of the statute.
Can I make it maintainable by the town? We're missing something.
I think that if you're talking about a strip of land, and that strip of land happens to be farmland, a state right-of-way, railroad tracks, wetland, whatever the case may be, if it's not a roadway, it's not a highway maintainable by the town. And my argument is that whenever you are bridging an expanse that is not a highway maintainable by the town, it doesn't qualify for bridge aid under this particular statute. And I think the important consideration here is that there may be other programs available to town government to assist in construction costs. And I think that's what's lost in the Court of Appeals and trial court's analysis.
Hey, what programs here would have helped the town?
I don't know that any programs in this circumstance would have helped, but let me give you a couple of examples if I might. The first is the Local Road Improvement Program, and that's governed by Statute 86.31. There is a subcomponent of the Local Road Improvement Program called the Town Road Improvement Program, commonly referred to as TRIP. There is TRIP and then there's TRIP D. TRIP D refers to Town Road Improvement Program discretionary funds. These are funds that are allocated throughout Wisconsin to local municipalities to assist in roadway construction, maintenance, and repair. In limited circumstances, there may be a situation where a new bridge is constructed using TRIP or TRIP D funds. I will tell you that TRIP and TRIP D generally do not cover new bridges. But an example that I can think of is if you have a new access point, for example, the new Highway 151 heading southwest out of Dane County, and for whatever reason the State Department of Transportation deems it advisable that a town road connect with Highway 151 and a bridge is necessary, the town may in those circumstances, and I'll admit that it's very limited, may qualify for assistance under the TRIP or TRIP-D program in the construction of that bridge.
Council, I have concerns about this area that's covered the, you know, what'd you call it, the spans area? Is that the word you used?
That's fine.
Okay. You say that if it's not a roadway, it is not a highway maintainable by a town. I say, well, if it's a roadway, then why do you need a bridge? You know, so, I mean, I usually think of a bridge covering something. Actually, I usually think as a bridge covering troubled waters or something like that. But by definition, let's say it's a bridge covering water. Under your interpretation of the statute, and we'll see where you get this span stuff from the words of the statute, under your interpretation, any bridge that covers water is not subject to 8138 aid because water is not a roadway, right?
That's correct.
And any bridge that covers something like this, a railway corridor, cannot be a subject to this aid because it's not a roadway. Where do you get the span stuff? Where do you get that from the words of the statute? Work with me on that.
Well, I think that it's contingent upon the definition of the term highway maintainable by the town. And I think where the problem comes in thinking about this is the same problem that the Court of Appeals and Trial Court had, and that is, well, does this program, you know, if we're going to construct a bridge, the only way you would construct a bridge is to build something where nothing existed before. And I think the problem is in thinking about this is, well, of course you're going to have to go over water. Of course you're going to have to go over a railroad. Of course you'll have to go over a right-of-way. How do you get over that? My point is that this statute is not designed to cover those situations. That's a new construction issue.
Well, but let's take an existing construction, right? Let's say this has been built. You've got a nice highway all the way to the corridor from both sides, and you have a bridge that goes over the corridor that was built 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Ah, now they need to repair it. Kind of like the Snake Bridge in Wausau. They need to repair it. But you're going to say, oh, even though you have contiguous roads right up to the bridge, not entitled to aid, and why not? Because this is repair. It's an existing infrastructure, which seems at odds with your earlier argument. It's an existing infrastructure. We're never going to give you money because it covers a railroad bed, and that's not a highway.
If I might, a highway includes a bridge. A bridge is included in the definition of a highway. If you look at 990 and Chapter 340, the term bridge is found in the definition of highway. And so in your example, we would have to cover that, we being Dane County, mm-hmm. would have to cover a situation like that because the bridge is part of the highway. The town maintains it, and it goes back to the example I provided earlier where we're replacing a culvert with a bridge. We would cover that, where you're going to tear down. And once that bridge is torn down, you have an expanse there. Nonetheless, it's a highway maintainable by the town. We would cover the construction of a new bridge in that circumstance. And so the problem that we're having here that I believe that the Court of Appeals and Trial Court had is the distinction between an existing roadway in need of maintenance, repair, construction, and a brand new roadway. And I will tell you that from the county's association's perspective, this statute has not been and has never been interpreted as an aid to the original development of infrastructure. It's a repair issue. Thank you very much.
I just have one question. So if you were given the opportunity to write the opinion at this court, how would you write the opinion defining or explaining the plain meaning of this statute?
I believe that the plain meaning, based upon the words that the legislature used and has used throughout history, is that in order for a town to qualify for bridge aid under 81.38, that the bridge must be constructed or repaired on a highway maintainable by the town, and the term highway means a roadway that is capable of being traveled by the public, consistent with the definitions contained in Chapter 990, and I believe it's Chapter 340.
And highway includes bridge.
It does. It includes bridges.
Let me just ask one final question. The legislature did change the word maintainable to maintained. Any particular reason why? And I know that doesn't relate to the legislation in place at the time, but any idea why that change occurred?
I don't know. Looking at the legislative history that the Legislative Reference Bureau put together is that the legislature did not intend any substantive changes. The only thing I can think is that maintained is easier to discern and define than maintainable. I think maintainable is easily defined, but maintained may be easier. And so when we're talking about the change that occurred recently and the recodification of Chapter 83 into 81, or 81 into 83, that, or 82, that when you say a highway maintained by the town, that just gives further support to the argument that it's an existing highway. We're not talking about new development here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Gerlach?
Good morning. My name is John Gerlach, and I represent the town of Madison. I just want to comment on a couple things that were said by council. Mr. Phillips talked about that this bridge aid program is only to correct or repair existing roads and bridges and culverts and whatnot. And the first thing that struck me is this statute was written back in the 1800s. And my immediate reaction to that was, I don't think there was as many roads back then. And it had the word construct. And I think that this bridge aid program was specifically adopted to help towns construct bridges. Council also talks about, in his Attorney Phillips in his brief, he actually agreed with me as to the purpose of the statute, and I think the purpose is very clear in the statute. The purpose is to spread the cost to a bridge or a culvert, and I think you have to intuitively understand that you can't, that would be a cost that would be to a town outright. That's not something that you could assess to a property owner like you do on curb and gutter. That is a major cost that the legislature said we've got to spread that cost. And the towns, when this statute was adopted, agreed that they would spread the cost within that county. In Dane County, we have, I think, 34 towns, and that cost is spread out.
But isn't the question cost of what? And that's what we're here about. Let me go back to your 1800s, because that's kind of compelling. There weren't as many roads there. But I note that the definition that was used in the 18, or the statute that had appeared in 1897, the statute was expanded to include any bridge wholly or partly within the town, right? You know, so, but then in 1923, there was a little different take on what bridge. And the bridge was only those bridges that are on a highway maintainable by the town. So it seems to be a narrowing. Would you agree with me that's
a
narrowing?
I agree with you, and I think what I perceived from that change is that we're not now, if it's not a town, even though it's in the town, and the way the statute was originally worded, if it's just in the town, it would be covered. Now, it's got to at least be on a town road, that the town is maintaining the road. And
mm-hmm. So it may have been, you know, we may have once been the wild, wild, wild central part of it.
Kinda,
but now it's...
And I don't know what the status of town roads or county trunk roads and state roads were back then, but it just seemed to narrow it to just your roads, and that's all I read into that. The other thing that comes out in the argument is that this is a relationship between town and county government, and I don't think this is a relationship between town and county government at all. The only thing the county does is administrative function and levying the tax against the remaining towns in the county. The county, it doesn't come out of the county budget. The county isn't paying for this. The county is nothing more than an administrative body that is assisting the town's cooperation. So I don't really perceive all that much as far as the relationship between town and county. This is a program that if the town needs a bridge, they work with the remaining towns and it gets paid for. So I don't know what that relationship is, but the financial relationship is not there, and they might assist in the design or whatnot of the bridge. I don't know exactly how that works, but as far as the financial relationship, they have no exposure here, and they keep talking about their liability. Well, their liability, there is none. They just have to levy the tax.
Mr. Gerlach,
when they levy the tax, doesn't it look as if the county board is increasing taxes?
I'm sorry?
When they levy the tax, doesn't it look like the county board's increasing taxes to the taxpayer?
Doesn't it
look like the county board is increasing taxes?
Well, it
when
does.
They levy it. These people are elected people. They may run on a platform, no tax increase, and all of a sudden the town imposes on them a tax increase.
Well,
it's a town mandate instead of a state mandate.
But anybody who understands the statute knows that it's really not a county mandate that they're increasing the tax. Also, what was pointed out in the briefs is that this tax does not affect the county's levy limits. It doesn't apply to that at all. It isn't counted in their levy limits.
Mr. Gerlach, yes. What about Mr. Rehfeldt's argument that the two roads in question, neither of them abut the bridge that was proposed? Neither one of them connect. And given the fact that they're not contiguous, how does the statute apply that would indicate that this is a road maintainable by the town? Yeah.
First of all, and I don't...
Would you please take the mic?
I want the court to understand, and it's supported by the affidavit, that the end of the frontage road, there was 200 feet to the bridge. And then the statute also talks about that you can even apply for, which the town did not, 100 feet of entrance portion to the bridge on the rope. So theoretically, what is covered, how close we are to this bridge is 200 feet less 100 feet, or roughly 100 feet.
200 feet.
I mean,
but,
how close?
But the question is, if it's not connected to the bridge, then how is it a road maintainable?
Well, again, I don't think the statute requires it to be an existing road, because that's basically what their argument is. It has to be an existing road. And there's nowhere in the statute that says that. And we submitted affidavits that you cannot ever build. Well, that's not true. Very seldom can you build a new bridge. Typically, that will not be where there is a current road. By building, you don't build the roads to the bridge and then build the bridge. You build the bridge and then build the roads to the bridge. And essentially, their interpretation is you could never really construct, in most cases, a new bridge in a town road. You'll never have...
I think their position is that you can build it, but you'd have to build it at town expense.
No, that's true. The program wouldn't apply. It would not be get half the cost from the remaining.
Well, the reason I'm asking the question is that I know that Mr. Phillips' argument focused on highway maintainable by the town, but I'm not sure that the proper focus of the statute is on the word on. And when you look at the word on, there are multiple definitions of what that means, and I'm not sure I understand or agree with what Mr. Phillips said, but what Mr. Rehfeldt's position seems somewhat compelling, that on is, and if you look at one of the dictionary definitions, in contact with any surface covering or attached to. And if it's not attached to it, if there's no contiguity, if it's not at least with respect to one of the roads, I'm not sure it has to be connected to both, but if it's not connected with at least one of the roads, then how is it on a highway maintainable by the town?
Well, again, the facts of the situation are is that When this bridge was built, the roadway was all part of the plan to build that basically simultaneously and or shortly thereafter, and that it is ultimately on a highway maintainable by the town. Was it on a highway exactly when the bridge construction started? It wasn't on that pavement, no, but it is part of a highway maintainable by the town.
Council, what about the argument that there's nothing in the record regarding this being public? Is there something, and can you point that out to me?
I believe Mr. Rose's affidavit talks about
have to you pick up the microphone. Can you pass that to him, please? The reason for the microphone is not only to amplify your voice, but that to record it, Council.
And I don't have the exact paragraph numbers, but Mr. Rose's affidavit does talk about the frontage road ending approximately 200 feet before the railroad right-of-way. And what was submitted was this picture, okay, and if a picture says 1,000 words, there is no roadway here. This is vacant land. There is a right-of-way, which was discussed, and that is the state right-of-way. And the town of Madison maintains all frontage roads, even though in the state right-of-ways.
Let me ask you this. If there were two town roads and then a state highway going through it, would the county pay for a bridge if you wanted to connect those two town roads that the highway goes through? You know, if you had the interstate and there were two town roads that you wanted to bridge over the interstate, would the county cover that?
I don't know.
Have you thought of that? Okay.
I mean
that was an example.
What do you think about it under the statute? If you represented the town, would you ask the county to do it?
Sure.
Well, sure you'd ask them. You have a good case.
Well, clearly we're maintaining, and we will continue to maintain the road, and if the bridge takes us over a state highway or something like that, I would argue as long as the bridge is being maintained by the town, that we would expect them to pay. Part of their argument on the existing or on or not is you run into problems, I think we're all aware of, where roads have to be redirected. There's a lot of roads that have to be straightened out, or you have a crick where the you want to move the bridge, and all of a sudden then you've got to move the roadway. And according to their argument is because you've moved the roadway, there isn't a road there. And I think if you use normal construction process, you'd build a bridge and then you'd redirect the road to someplace else, to the bridge. Their argument would be that's not covered. And I don't think that was the intent of the statute. The intent of the statute was to cover all construction as long as it is clearly maintained and a highway maintainable by the town. I think it was pretty clear in the Court of Appeals decision that there was no dispute in this case that the town was going to build a road and continue and connect that bridge. And there was some discussion about, well, what if it happens 3 years or 5 years after the fact? I mean, clearly the county had or could have had our plans. They know that that was part of a major project that the town was doing. Part of the information that was in their notice of claim is that we had a federal grant. That grant was in the neighborhood of almost half the cost of the whole project was in the neighborhood of $1.5 million, and we were forced to start that project. We were forced to complete that project within the time frame of the grant. So there is no issue here in this particular case whether that bridge, when it was built, was going to be connected by the town road, by the extension of ski lane. By the extension of the frontage road by 200 feet, and by the extension of ski lane by approximately a quarter of a mile.
Council,
yes.
Would your interpretation of the statute change if the word maintainable, that is, a bridge on a highway maintainable, was changed to maintained, a bridge on a highway maintained by the town? Does that make any difference to you?
Again, I think the legislature indicated that they weren't trying to change.
Okay, I know what they said, but I'm asking you.
Again, I think it is on a highway maintained, and I think maintained my opinion is maintainable is kind of a gray area that it allows somebody to say, well, I might be able to maintain it. Mm-hmm. Maintain actually says you're going to maintain it, and there is no. For instance, we could go to the state. This is on a state right of way, and say, is this something that you would allow us to maintain or be maintainable? And I think maintain just clarifies that and says, no, you are. This is a road that you are going to maintain.
Mr. Gerlach, to follow up Justice Bradley's question, are you using the word, I'm hearing you using two different words. Are you using the word maintain or are you using the word maintained?
Maintained, excuse me.
I'm sorry, which one?
Maintained.
Maintained.
I'm sorry.
But as the statute has been revised, it uses the word maintained past tense. And I think that's the gist of Justice Bradley's question. Uh-huh. Does that make a difference?
Thanks, Justice Butler. I appreciate that.
That is the gist of my question. It's now past tense. In other words, maintained with an ED. Does that make any difference?
Well, I still think it is maintained by mm-hmm. the town and
okay.
will be maintained.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is maintained as opposed to maintained.
Mm-hmm. And it is maintainable, and it's, the legislature was very clear. We're not trying to change interpretation here.
If you prevail, Council, the town prevails, what is to prevent really abuse of this aid program?
Well, first of all, I'm not aware of any other township being denied because they built a new bridge and built the road to connect to it. That was something that was said. I don't think bridges are built every day. I think those are very rare occurrences in towns. And I think those are planned bridges and they're planned developments. And I don't see any reason why it would be abused by anybody. There is still a risk that the town to build a bridge has to pay half its cost. That is a deterrent. But the fact of the matter is there's just not that many new bridges built, at least in my experience and my representation of the two townships I represent. It just isn't an everyday occurrence. And when you do build them, it is essential to get some funding because it is a major expense. And I think that ultimately what the statute was intended for when it was written back in the 1800s.
Is it your position if the town builds a bridge there are no connecting town roads yet, but that the plan is to build these connecting roads? Is that covered by the statute?
Yes.
And how do you get that under the words of the statute that says construct, because we're not repairing, we're constructing a bridge on a highway maintainable by the town? There is no highway. There is no highway.
I understand that. The construction process for a new bridge is you build the bridge first. And I don't think the statute by the word construct was intending to preclude the construction of new bridges. And I believe as long as that highway does connect to the bridge as part of that project, and it is maintained by the town, that it does cover that.
You know, it doesn't say a culvert or bridge connecting with or making a connection between two highways or more maintainable or maintained by the town. It says a bridge on a highway. What does on a highway mean, a bridge on a highway? bridge is up in the air.
Well, and I think, again, going back...
Gotta take the microphone.
That bridge, before it was even built, is you have frontage road here that was maintained by the
town.
Is
that a town?
That is a state frontage road that
right.
the town maintains, and by
okay.
affidavit
okay.
made it very
All
clear
right.
that we have
All
maintained
right.
that.
All right.
This is a town road
right.
that was maintained.
Okay.
And it really comes back to the same question you asked, is how close
right.
now do I got to get it to say that it's being maintained? And it had always been maintained, this whole area, by the town of Madison.
And is the bridge itself maintained by the town of Madison? One
yes.
assumes it is.
Yes.
And is it on a highway?
Well, you have, according to affidavit, the frontage road. At the time the bridge construction started, there was a right-of-way, state right-of-way, that connected the frontage road to the...
But the right-of-way is not maintained by the town?
The right-of-way is maintained. All right-of-ways are maintained by the town. All Beltline right-of-ways are maintained by the town. I think it,
yellow and a green, is a right-of-way maintained by the town?
Well, again, that was vacant, so I don't really know what maintained, but we've maintained all frontage roads in the town of Madison, even
and
though...
And you travel by car between the yellow and green?
No, because the pavement actually ended there.
All right. That answers that question. Thank you.
What was the nature of the land after the pavement ended?
To the best of my recollection...
The microphone.
To the best of my recollection, from the frontage road to the railroad right-of-way was pretty level. But there was a substantial drop-off west of the bridge, and we had to fill that in. So there was somewhat of a substantial drop-off. I don't know if you'd call it a cliff, but it was, that's my best recollection.
You had a long way to go to connect up with Ski Lane, right?
It was about a quarter of a mile.
Pardon me, quarter of a mile. But, I mean, you had to do something to make... To travel by car, make that travelable by car.
Correct. The whole road was put in.
Okay.
Curb, gutter, sewer system, the whole works was put in.
Are any municipalities other than towns eligible for county bridge aid?
According to the statute, well, cities are not. According to the statute, villages can opt in if they choose to be part of the program. I do not know how many villages there are in Dane County or how many are participating in the program. I do not know that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Are there any other questions of Mr. Gerlach?
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Rayfield?
Your Honor, I think if we're technically keeping track of time here, I've already used my 5 minutes in the first
part. We're not technically.
I'm sure we could go just a little further. I do have a couple points I'd like to make and point you to some things in the record, but it looked like Justice Butler really wanted to ask a question. I wondered if he was done asking questions. Is there anything else?
Not at this point.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question then.
Okay, go.
And that is, okay, this is all built now.
Yes.
They want to repair the bridge. You have to assist them then, don't you?
Absolutely.
Hereafter. Mm-hmm. And that you don't have a problem with this Spance argument, even if you're not making it, and your co-counsel here is, you don't have a problem with that expanse area because bridge is a highway under the definition of highway. So a bridge is a highway.
And both the ones that I'm offering to the court that makes the most sense out of this whole mess, yes.
So once, if the town spent all the money and connected the yellow with the green and the green with the orange, with a road that was travelable by car and maintained by the town, and they want to rebuild the bridge, you'd pay half.
Correct. Your Honors, and I can point you to a spot in the record.
Are you consistent then with Mr. Phillips?
I don't know if we're entirely consistent. I think there's a very fine point there.
What's the fine point?
The fine point there is, Your Honor, is when I was asked the question, is that my consistent stance has been if it's on a highway existing, and a bridge is part of an existing highway. If it was butted up all the way to the highway, I think my position is different than Mr. Mm-hmm. Phillips' position. I would concede that.
And if I could follow up the Chief's question, you've talked in terms of whether or not the yellow connects to the green and the green connects to the orange.
Exactly.
What if the yellow connects to the green?
If that's part of the highway, if that's a highway maintainable by the town, I think your conclusion is that you have to reimburse for it.
Okay.
And where I want to point you to the record on that, Your Honors, is a very clear affidavit. If you go to my petition for appeal, page 121 in the appendix, paragraph 10 of Ms. Pam Dumphy, she says, to my knowledge, Dane County has never provided reimbursement for construction on new bridges when requested by towns. The county has only provided for reconstruction of repairs of bridges on existing highways. Very clear. Also, with the concerns about was this drivable, was this open to the public, if you go to document 10 in the record, which is the affidavit of D. Richard Rose, who is the professional engineer, this was submitted in support of summary judgment by Mr. Gerlach, paragraph 17. Talks about the bridge was completed in March of 2005. The roadway both east and to the west of the bridge commenced shortly thereafter. The roadway was completed in August of 2005, and the town dedicated the use of the road in October of 2005. Presumably when it's dedicated, it's open to the public. Wanted to mention one other thing, too, about the statute and what Dane County's role was, and Attorney Gerlach referred to it as an administrative role. I call it more of a gatekeeper function. If we improperly approve a petition, and one of the other participating villages or towns that's in the program doesn't like it, is Dane County subject to suit by those other towns and villages? The answer is yes. If they say Dane County didn't pay attention to that phrase in the statute, highway maintainable by a town, they had a duty to protect us because we participate in this bridge aid program. And they didn't. They could sue Dane County. And if I was the town's attorney, I would advise them to do such.
Mr. Rayfield,
yes.
It's been asked before, I apologize.
That's okay.
If the yellow part was connected with the green bridge, but not green to orange, would you pay for the bridge, half the bridge?
If it was connected in all that area, and again, I can see.
Yellow.
Yes.
Totally filled up to the green, even though when you got across the bridge, there was no place to go.
Right.
Right? That would be covered by the statute?
Technically, yes. Yes, I think we would. Pragmatically, Your Honor, what you want to do, and again, with the problem, if it's maintainable means 2 or 3 years in the future, the word I used in my brief was vestigial project. That you increase the risk greatly if that's the way you interpret the statute. If you allow this project to be built and like it exists, and this is going to become maintainable in 2 years, and all of a sudden the rest of the federal funding disappears, or as Mr. Gerlach said, they run out of time deadline, don't meet their deadline, this never gets built. Under my interpretation, I believe you lessen the risk of this being a vestigial project of use to nowhere. Justice Butler, is there a famous bridge in Milwaukee called the Bridge to Nowhere?
There used to be.
Very good. Thank you.
You can see it in one of the old movies.
That would be Blues Brothers, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Thank you. I did my research on the Bridge to Nowhere, by the way. And the other thing is...
Red light now is on. You may conclude.
No, I have nothing to conclude other than, Your Honor, to tell you that when Attorney Phillips, when you asked him the question, how would you write the decision, I concur with that.
Okay.
I think you frame it with a consistent interpretation of 8138 based on the definitions in the statute of highway and incorporating all the words, including maintainable. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, Mr. Rayfield and Mr. Phillips and Mr. Gerlach, for your arguments on, it seems to me, a very new topic to this court on payment for bridges and culverts, new or repaired. So thank you very much. That concludes our argument in 06-AP-2554, Town of Madison versus County of Dane.